All right, give me a second to get this table over here, and then we'll get started. So we are still in this series in Nehemiah, talking about living our faith out. And I actually didn't, Hunter, I knew Mary was going to share some of her story, but I didn't know exactly what she was going to share, but actually ties in really good for tonight. But let me pray, then we'll get started. Lord, when we talk about anything from your word, we know that the Spirit needs to move, but God, even more tonight to talk about the opposition that we'll face in our faith. We need your Spirit to move. It is a spiritual thing and a faith thing to believe that you are enough. So pray that you'd speak to us and speak to these students tonight, God. Pray that there is some cool life-changing things that happen here. Amen. So some people say that we are living right now in like the voting season. You know, it's the presidential election season. I'm not going to call it that. I'm calling it opposition season, right? We all know what's happening. Have we all seen the yard signs? Okay, I'm not going to get anybody to raise their hand and say if they got one in their yard or not. But we see all the yard signs. You got your Trump hand signs. You got your Biden Harris signs. You got everything in between. Lots of bad words and weird things going on. But everybody's opposing each other, right? I mean, there is a lot of opposition going on right now. We feel it. We see it. There's even more opposition going on. The whole mask, no mask thing, right? Like, there's opposition there. Some people are like, I don't ever want to wear a mask. Some people are like, you know, if you don't wear a mask, you're killing everybody. There's opposition. Like, opposition is a force we will always face. I mean, I remember when the quarantine first started, when the pandemic first started, I remember thinking, this is an interesting thing. Like, it's kind of uniting us. Like, we're all like, okay, we're in this together. But it's just so interesting. It didn't take very long for it to turn into this opposition about, should we open things back up? Should we not? And I know everybody's trying to make their choices and what they believe is right, but it's just so interesting to me how much opposition is around us. Opposition is a force we're always going to face. We're always going to be facing opposition in our lives on varying things. Nobody likes that. Just like Mary was talking about up here. She's like, I don't like it, but it's something we're going to face. And so it's not how do we avoid opposition, it's how do we deal with opposition in our lives. Now, there's a couple sides to opposition, okay? The first side of opposition is you either are having opposition for doing wrong or for doing right. It's interesting, you experience both sides of those. How do I know this? Because a bunch of you are facing opposition from your parents, your teachers, your coaches, especially your parents, for not doing the right thing, right? I mean, look at this meme. Does this not speak to you guys? When you're on quarantine, you get grounded, right? Like, you're facing opposition from your parents for not doing the right thing. But on the flip side, and it kind of goes, I mean, that's a funny example, but on the flip side, there's opposition for doing right. And I can't say I understand this entire story, but there's a guy, he's dead now. He was actually assassinated. His name's Jamal Khashoggi. Anybody heard this story? Jamal Khashoggi? Yeah. So you can go to the next slide. That's him. And he was assassinated by the Saudi Arabian government, basically because he was someone that was trying to bring the truth out about the Saudi Arabian government, and they ultimately had him assassinated. He was facing a lot of opposition throughout his entire life, and they finally had him assassinated. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen to all of us. I'm just saying there's opposition for doing wrong, and there's opposition for doing right. I was talking to a guy recently who goes into the juvenile detention center, and he does substance abuse prevention groups in there. This guy was actually in the juvenile detention center back when he was in high school. Lord graciously saved his life. He leaves the juvenile detention center. Now he goes back and serves there. But he said, you know, they love when he comes in and he does the drug prevention groups. But he says when he started to bring a little bit of God's word in there and a little bit of things of faith, he automatically got opposition. No, we don't really want that here. It's not really what we want here. They have chapels for that. And I understand as they're trying to keep things separate and do what they have to do, but I just thought how interesting is that he's trying to do right and he faces opposition. So there's opposition for doing wrong, and there's opposition for doing right. Now there's two places that opposition comes from. We often think of opposition from the outside. And that's true. There's opposition from the outside. Those outside a group trying to stop what the group is doing. Or in your life, there's people that are opposing you for what you're trying to do in your life. So that's how we often think about it. We often think about opposition. You know, if we're the United States, well, we have opposition from different countries that don't want us to do things. They want to attack us, whatever. That's opposition from the outside. Well, there's also opposition from the inside. Those inside the group, or those that even you're friends with or that are your acquaintances, that they're opposing you. It's actually really interesting that Mary talked about what she shared up here tonight, because that was opposition from the inside. In one form or another, we will face opposition as followers of Christ, but let's learn how to deal with it in a biblical way. So we're in this book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was taken captive by the Babylonians. He became kind of a high official there. He hears about this need that Jerusalem is just all messed up. The wall's broken down. They've got no protection. The place is in ruins. The people are in ruins. And he goes up, does this crazy thing. He sees the need. And he's like, King, can I go back and help rebuild the wall? And crazy enough, the king's like, yeah, go back, build the wall. So he goes back and he's starting to build this wall for protection. Bob kind of talked last week about the walls that we have to have around our lives for boundaries and how they're good things. And that's the same thing that the nation of Israel wanted, was that wall there. And so now Nehemiah gets there and starts building the wall, and automatically he starts facing opposition from the outside and from the inside. And we're going to look at both of those tonight. So it starts out, actually, before the wall was ever built, they were experiencing opposition. I'm going to have a lot of verses for you guys up there, but if you want to turn in your Bible, you can. It's Nehemiah chapter 2. And this is before the wall has ever been built. And here's what it says. Nehemiah 2, verse 9. It says, then I came to the governor's of the province beyond the river and gave them the king's letters, because he has letters from the king saying, hey, I can go through here. It's okay for me to do this. I can even get supplies to build this wall. Now the king had sent with me officers of the army and the horsemen. And then when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the Ammonite servant heard this, it displeased them greatly that someone had come to seek the welfare of the people of Israel. The wall hasn't even started. But Sanballat, like, if you have that name, that's just bad news, right? Sanballat, it's like, what the heck? And Tobiah, it's like a little better, but you're like, you know, Sanballat's the leader. His name just sounds like the leader. And Tobiah's like the guy that just kind of stands there and agrees with everything that Sanballat says. That's how it sounds. Sanballat, yeah. Weird name. Okay, so Sanballat, they were just straight mad because someone was looking out for the welfare of Israel. They hadn't even started building the wall. They were just mad. They were just displeased. They were just upset that someone wanted to help Israel. Why? Because they like seeing Israel be weak. They didn't want to see Israel grow again. And you know, there's just going to be times where we're going to face opposition, people against us. As Christians, but not even sometimes just for being Christians, there's going to be times we're going to face opposition from people around us. And it's just plain and simple because they don't want us to succeed. They don't want us to do well. It's sad that that's how the human heart is. But to be honest, if we're honest with ourselves, we're a lot like that too, aren't we? We don't really like to see people succeed. I mean, we do, but as long as it's like we're still a little bit better, right? I'm like that. I'm like, well, I want to see you succeed to a certain point. But then if you come a little bit better than me, then that's not really what I want to see happen. But that's our sinful human heart. Now, as I talk about this tonight, I don't want you to think that. I don't want you to walk away from here saying, oh man, everybody's against Christians. There's opposition everywhere, behind every corner. Every person you meet is just going to oppose you because you're Christian. That's not what I'm saying. But I do believe, and this is biblical, that there is a spiritual force that is against God's kingdom being built on this earth. So I'm not saying we look behind every corner, we look behind every person, we say, oh, there's always opposition, they're just trying to oppose us because we're Christians. But I do believe, just like it says in Ephesians, that there is a spiritual force that doesn't want to see God's kingdom built on this earth. So Sanballat and Tobiah, they just don't want to see. The wall hasn't even started. They're just opposing them already because they don't want to see them succeed. And there'll be people like that in your life. They just don't want to see you succeed. And then Nehemiah 2:19 says, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite, Horonite, that just sounds bad too, but anyways, and Tobiah the Ammonite servant, and now we got Geshem, the Arab, heard of it. They jeered at us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you're doing? Are you rebelling against the king? So they jeered at them, they despised them, and they're like, what are you doing? They just didn't like them. Like, they just straight up did not like them. When I was working, I've always got stories about the grounds department, but there's just always stories come up. When I was working in the grounds department at Liberty, there was this guy that he just didn't like me. Like, have you ever had someone like that in your life? Okay, I'm not the only one. That makes me feel good. I mean, he just straight up didn't like me. And to be honest, I think part of it was that he was doing some things that weren't right and weren't good. And I was trying to do things right and good and moral and work hard for the company, for Liberty. And man, like, he just wanted to make my life hard. This is what he wanted to do. He just wanted to oppose, he just wanted to despise me and jeer me and go after me. And so there's just going to be people in our lives sometimes that just don't like us for varying reasons. Now, we shouldn't be part of that. We shouldn't egg them on. But I do think we have to have the reality that that is going to happen sometimes. And I like to think, man, I'm a really likable guy. But this guy just didn't like me. He opposed the things I do. He was always kind of trying to stop me from doing that. And so sometimes there's going to be people that just don't like us. Now, both of these are already happening before the wall is ever built. Now, the wall is being built. They start building the wall, and the outside opposition continues on. Here's what Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 2 says. And he said in the presence of his brothers and in the armies of Samaria, this is old Sanballat. He says to them, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burned ones at that? So here's what he does. He's like, you know, it's one of those moments where he obviously knows that they hear, but he's kind of like not really talking to them. Anybody ever had that too? Someone talks about you, but it's like, well, they're not really here, but they know you're really hearing. They want you to hear. That's what's happening here. He calls into their question their character in many ways. He says feeble. He's questioning their strength, their ability to persevere. Can they really do it? And what's he trying to do? He's trying to stop them. He's trying to stop them from building the wall. He says they're feeble, questioning their strength. And he says, he's questioning, can they really restore it? Can they bring it back to what it once was? They can't do it. They're just weak. Then he says, can they sacrifice? I mean, that one to me really hits me because he's saying, he's totally calling into question like their integrity and again, their ability to persevere. Can they really work through this? They can't do it. They're just a weak people. Look at Jerusalem. He calls into question their ability to do hard things, their work ethic. Then he calls and he says, can they finish it up? And he's trying to get them discouraged and to stop working because it'll take too long. All these words are to discourage them from being on the mission to rebuild the wall that God has called them to do. And then he says, can they really revive it? Again, he's trying to get them discouraged by saying, look at the present circumstances. They can't do anything about this. This is all in rubble. There's no way they can build this wall. And for us, Satan, he's always opposing us. He's always throwing lies and half-truths at our mind. And ways to discourage us, to say, oh, look what you've done. Look what you've done in your life. There's no one's going to really like you. You're not going to really be able to live your faith out. Look at the things you've done. Look at your family. You're not that smart. Not that athletic. To discourage you, to stop you from living your faith, from being on mission with God. And so we're all facing opposition. I hope you're starting to get it, the opposition that we're facing. But this is what I want you to stop for a minute here. I want you to stop for a minute. I want you to think about this. Am I on mission with God? I want you to think about that. This is an important question. Am I on mission with God? Am I fighting a battle that's worth fighting? Because at this moment, Nehemiah and the Israelites, they've got to really ask themselves if we're facing this kind of discouragement, and this is just the beginning, the wall hasn't even been built and it's just being built, and we're facing this kind of discouragement, is the mission that God has called us to, is it really worth it? And I would ask you guys, are you on mission with God? Because if you are, I'd want you to think about that and say, you know what? It's worth it for me to be on mission with God. And if you feel like you're facing opposition, it's from some really just kind of small and petty things, and it's not because you're on mission with God, then I pray tonight you'd be like, God, I want to get on mission with you. You know, we quote the verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And a lot of times we quote that on things like, God, if we just win this football game, if I just get into the college that I really want to, if I just get the money to buy that car, and I'm really not sure that that's really what that verse goes to. And sometimes the opposition that we're facing is just God trying to build our character, but we need to be led by God and be fighting his battles. And if we're facing opposition for being on mission with God and facing his battle, then that is a worthy thing to face opposition for. We need to be seeing the needs and to be willing to fight for those. So they're facing this opposition. They're trying to get them to be discouraged. And so what do they do? What are they going to do? What do they do? They kept working. Here's what Nehemiah 4:6 says. So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Why? Because they said, it's worth it. The mission that God has given us, it's worth it. You know, like, example this is, our desire as a student ministry is to do everything that we can to try to have a winter retreat this year. And there's going to be a lot of opposition to that. And we're going to have to work through all these different things. But why? Because we believe that it's worth it for you guys to gather together in community and to hear God's word. Now, it might not happen, and we'll have to be okay with that. But we have to decide, are the things that we're doing, are they worth it? And for you guys and for the Israelites, they said, it's worth it. We're going to keep on building because their mission and their work was from God. So they kept on working. They're building the wall. They continue on. They face some of the discouragement. They know there's some people against them, this outside force trying to stop them and discourage them, but they keep working. And then here's what happens. The opposition escalates as the work continues because their original discouragement wasn't working. Here's what Nehemiah 4:7 says. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the wall of Jerusalem was going forward and that the breaches were beginning to be closed, they were very angry. So they're angry now. This ain't just like, we're just making fun of you. We're just trying to discourage you. Now we're ticked. We're angry. This is happening. Because they're seeing it continue to take place. The wall continue to build. They're continuing to see God for them, and so they get mad. And here's what Nehemiah 4:8 says. And they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem to cause confusion to it. That word plotted. What I kind of draw from that word is you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to cause fear. They're trying to cause fear in the Israelites. Let's plot. Let's plot to bring confusion to them, to bring fear. And I would say this to you guys. Fear is the great opposition from outside. I think we even talked about this last week some. You know, it's like, how scared are you to talk to your friends? Maybe this was on a Sunday morning we were talking about. You know, how scared are you to talk to your friends? What is it? And it's fear. To talk to my friends about Jesus. It's fear that holds me back. You know, why am I scared to really live my faith out? Well, it's because fear. Fear of I don't know what's going to happen. Fear of the unknown. I'm scared to take steps of faith because I'm fearful. And that's what they're trying to do to the Israelites. Fear is what keeps us. It's the opposition from the outside that keeps us from being on mission with God. We fear man, we fear rejection, we fear the unknown, we fear loneliness, we fear persecution, we fear that we might have no friends, we fear we might get harmed. Fear is the great opposition. I want to show you guys two movie clips that are pretty, in a lot of ways, real life of fear that really did happen and how they overcame it a little bit. So check this first video out. Sorry, can you play the second one first? I messed up. Oh, no, that's good. No, you got it. Sorry.
Okay, Jim.
The only way.
All right, do you guys know what movie that's from?
Woodlawn.
That's from Woodlawn. And the fear that he faced for trying to be a part of a football team where white guys were and breaking that racial divide, man, that was the fear they were trying to set. They threw a brick through the window, set his jersey on fire, trying to bring fear to him, to stop him, from doing what he knew. He was moved by Christ. He came a believer. His parents were believers, and he was moved by Christ to face that opposition, but they were trying to cast fear. If you can play that next video clip now to kind of show what helped them through it.
We all do what we do in life.
Uh-oh. I don't know why the second video clip's playing in the back. Well, try that again, see what happens. If not, I think the second one's playing. Don't know what happened. Okay. So Paul Bear Bryant, who is the coach of Alabama that was actually recruiting him to play, just ends up coming to him and says, you know what makes you different? He brings the brick out. And the paper that was on the brick that said, quit football. And he brings it back and says, you know what's different between you and those guys? They're cowards, and you have courage. And he says, you're living for something bigger. And we encourage him. He says, fight the opposition. Continue on with the battle that God has for him. And so they're facing this opposition. They're trying to bring fear to him. And here's what Nehemiah 4:9 says. It said, we prayed to our God, and we set a guard as protection against them that day. So Nehemiah first comes and he says, let me just pray. Pray to the God that can actually do something. You know, how often do we face opposition in our life and we just try more and more on our own to try to fight it? How we can handle it, keep it under control? It's like, just talk to the Lord. Say, God, how do I face this? What's going on in my life? So they pray to the one who can protect them and give wisdom. And then they took the just wisdom step that God gave them. They said, let's just protect ourselves. Right? Like, if we need to do this, we're going to need to protect ourselves. And so they kept building and they kept on mission. And here's what it says in Nehemiah 4:18. And each of the builders had his sword strapped at his side while he built. The man who sounded the trumpet was beside me. So he had this guy that had a trumpet beside him to go, if anybody's coming to attack him, we're going to blow the trumpet because people are spread out throughout the wall. But I love this picture. He had the sword strapped at his side while he built. And I mean, again, I don't want to say that there's opposition behind every single corner, but I think as Christians, that is somewhat how we live. We should live in the sense of not that we're scared all the time, but we're like, there is a battle out there. And so while only I'm building, I'm trying to build God's kingdom, I'm trying to live for him. But at the same time, I'm looking to protect myself too. We're looking to protect each other from the enemy that wants to bring us down. You know, Satan doesn't see Christians seeking to do God's kingdom work and say, well, I guess I'll just let him be. They're doing the enemy's work. That's what Satan would say. We're doing the enemy's work and for living for God. No, he seeks to steal and kill and destroy. How do I know this? Because every time we have a mission team, there is spiritual warfare that takes place on the mission team around us. Things in our lives, it's heightened. Why? Because we're seeking to do God's will. So how do we deal with opposition from the outside? One, you got to know, am I on mission? Do I know the battle I'm fighting, that I'm called by God to do it? If so, I keep working. I don't stop. I don't allow the fear to take over. I don't quit. And the second thing is I pray to God, I find strength in him, and I find wisdom in him. I protect myself. Again, I know why I'm battling. So there's opposition from the outside. I want to talk to you and hear about opposition from the inside. This is what Nehemiah is starting in chapter 5 now. It says, now there arose a great outcry of the people and of their wives against their Jewish brothers. So here's what you got to realize. When it says their Jewish brothers, the opposition was brother against brother. This was from their own people. They were starting to face opposition now. Nehemiah 5:2 says, "For there were those who said, 'With our sons and our daughters we are many, so let us get grain that we may eat and keep alive.'" So here's what the people are saying. It was a real struggle they were having. They're saying, look, we're struggling with a food shortage. Because here's what's happening. Many of the men from around Jerusalem came to Jerusalem to work on the wall. But these men were the ones that usually tended the crops. So now they're not tending the crops and there's no one to bring the food and the money for them. So they're having a food shortage. It's a very real issue. And we have to realize, just because we're on mission for God, they're on mission for God, they're building the wall. Just because we're on mission for God doesn't mean we're not going to have legitimate issues and needs in our lives. There's a legitimate need here. There's legitimate needs and issues that we're going to have in this youth group, in this church, but we have to learn to work it out together. But guess what? It gets worse. It's not just the food shortage. Here's what Nehemiah 5:3 through 4 says. There were also those who said, "We're mortgaging our fields, our vineyards, and our houses to get grain because of the famine." And there were those who said, "We've borrowed money for the king's tax on our fields and our vineyards." So some of them were saying, "Hey, you know, we have grain, but guess what we had to do? We had to mortgage our fields and our houses just to get them. We had no way to pay for it. So we had to basically say, here's some of the money that our house is worth. You have part of our house, our fields, the things that they owned, just to get it." And others were just straight borrowing money to be able to pay for their food. But just get this. This is within their own people. They're trying to rebuild the wall, and their own people are having them be short on food. So think of it like this. This is how high the taxes were then. They've been able to see old documents to find out what the tax rate was. It was 40 to 50%. That means if you made $100, you'd take maybe $40 or $50 home for your family. That's how high the tax rates were. So it's hard. The situation's tough. They're trying to rebuild the wall for protection, but there's an outside enemy just trying to stop them, and they're struggling from the inside to provide for their daily necessities. But it gets worse. Nehemiah 5:5 says this, "Now our flesh is as flesh of our brothers. Our children are as their own, yet we are forcing our sons and daughters to be slaves. And some of our daughters have already been slaves, but it's not in our power to help it, for the other men have our fields and our vineyards." They were selling their children as bond slaves to be able to pay back money that they owed to their own people. And the word in here for daughters having been enslaved, that word enslaved there is actually talking, could be connotating like sexual slavery to their own people. And this is the opposition from the inside. And here's the most important part of this. It was the rich Israelites taking advantage of the poor Israelites. It was their own people taking advantage of them. So Nehemiah 5:8 says, and said to them, I'm sorry, go to 5:6 says, very angry, this is Nehemiah, "I was very angry when I heard this outcry and these words. I took counsel with myself." So he stopped and he said, "Before I do something rash, Lord, let me figure out what to do." We got to do that more often. We got to stop and say, "God, speak to me. Let me hear what you say. Let me not do anything rash." And it says, "I brought charges against the nobles and the officials. And I said to them, 'You are exacting interest, each from his own brother.' And I held a great assembly against them." And then it says, "We, as far as we are able, have brought back our Jewish brothers who have been sold to nations, but you even sell your own brothers that they may be sold to us." They were silent and could not find a word to say. Nehemiah is saying, stop. Think about this. Think about what you're doing. It makes no sense. You are doing to each other what your enemies have done to us. See, what they had done is they had gone back other, because Israel was poor, they were had to sell to other nations, were buying their own people and taking them. So Nehemiah and some of the others have actually gone to the other nations and brought people back. And he's saying, that's what our enemy has done to us, and now we're doing it to ourselves. So Nehemiah 5:9 says, "So I said, 'The thing that you're doing is not good. Ought you not to walk in the fear of our God to prevent the taunts of the nations, our enemies?'" And now, I want to kind of end here. And I know we clearly don't have the same kind of like direct issue in our church. We're not selling each other. We're not charging each other interest. But we do need to talk about the opposition from the inside. And how does this relate to our group? And I got to be honest, I don't know any other way to say this but to say, and I tell you, I did not know what Mary was going to say. But there's some of you in this room who are not living out of a fear of the Lord. You might show up Wednesdays. You might show up at retreats. You might show up at summer camps. But your life doesn't fear the Lord. And I'm not saying we're all perfect here. I'm saying there's a point where you're like, I really don't care about God. I just come here. You're simply living for yourself with no care for God or others. And I don't know another way to say this, but you're dragging others away from following God. You are opposing the mission of God in this youth group. And that would have been me when I was in high school. I would have been that guy. And I would have hoped I would have been right now in this group. I would have been listening and I would have heard someone say, man, you can repent and turn of your sin and turn to the Lord tonight. Because whether you believe it or not, your life does affect others in this group. But tonight you can change that for the good. And for those of you in this group that are here tonight, that man, you're trying to seek and live for the Lord. And honestly, it's most difficult to live for God within this group. You know why? Because when there's enemies from the outside, we can see them. We know they're our enemies. We know they're opposing us. But when there's those on the inside that don't look like enemies that are opposing us, that's when it's hard. And for those of you that are trying to live it tonight, I want to encourage you to keep living on mission for God and be a light for those in this group that they can follow you. We need to be on mission to serve God as a youth group. And that happens when we each individually follow God, and then we come together as a collective whole saying, we're all following God in our own lives, in the way we live, in the things that we do. So, opposition from the outside. Are you fighting the right battles? Are we on mission? If so, keep fighting. Do it with others. Let's band together to be a mission for God. Opposition from the inside. We got to stop battling each other. We got to stop pulling each other down. We got to find our common cause in the gospel and in Jesus and work for that. Our mission, in a broad sense, is exactly what RBC says, knowing Christ and making him known in every area of our lives. That is our mission. So I'm going to end here. The end of Nehemiah, well, the middle of Nehemiah chapter 5. And the worship team can start coming up because it's just kind of a cool way that it ends. Nehemiah 5:11 says, return to them this very day their fields, their vineyards, their olives, their orchards, and their houses, and the percentage of money, grain, wine, and oil that you've been exacting from them. So he says, it's time to change. The money that you've been taking, the way you've been treating them, it's time to turn around and give it all back to them. And so for some that are in this group tonight, that you're not fearing the Lord, your life is not for the Lord, he's saying, it's time to change. It's time to change and let God work in your life and see him work. And then in verse 12, it says, then they said, this is what they said, we will restore these and we will require nothing from them. We will do as you say. And Nehemiah called the priests and he made them swear to do as they promised. And then verse 13 says, and all the assembly said, amen, and praised the Lord. And the people did as they promised. So I'm thinking, let's just do what Nehemiah said. Let's praise the Lord. Thank you.